behalf of Indian Airlines and Captain Das Gupta, we welcome you on board our flight IC-408. We are about to take off for Calcutta. Will you kindly fasten your seat belts, keep your seats upright, and refrain from smoking while the no smoking sign is switched on. We hope you enjoy your flight. Thank you.
Welcome to another edition of the Midler's Podcast, where we are exploring the Desi diaspora. This is Bill Alexander and Yusuf.
Hi, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well.
So we're going to do something a little different. We've dealt with, on prior podcasts, some pretty heavy, interesting themes, engaging conversations. We're going to do something a little lighter. We're going to actually take a look at a movie that's currently out in theaters right now. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, put out by Fox Searchlight. I've seen the movie, and Yusuf, you have as well, right?
Yes.
So for the benefit of listeners who have not seen the movie, did you want to give a brief overview of kind of what the movie is about?
Yeah, it's a group of British retirees. They decide to go to India for their retirement, for less expensive lifestyle and also a seemingly exotic venue. And they're enticed by advertising for a newly restored hotel. And the advertising is actually compelling. And so these couples and also some single people, retirees decide to go to India.
Yeah, so they moved to Rajasthan.
I think it was Udaipur.
Udaipur, that's right.
Yeah, and the nearest city was Jaipur, and I think it was Udaipur where these guys were settled.
Yeah, and so it's a neat premise, and I found it very enjoyable. Personally, I liked it a lot. It really resonated with me. I've taken a little bit of look at the stats for the movie, actually, as well. It has made about $107 million worldwide at this point. And that's pretty respectable. It has the feel, even though there's some big names in it, Tom Wilkinson, Judi Dench, increasingly famous Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire fame. But despite the big names, it has the feel of a bit of an art film, so it makes it feel that it's not mainstream, even though it's made very much by a mainstream theater. And by virtue of the 107,000, it's doing quite well, actually.
Yeah.
I'm taking a look at kind of where it's doing well also, and it appears to have resonated quite well with the English-speaking world, as you would not be surprised. In the United Kingdom, it's made over $30 million, and in Australia, it's made over $20 million. So about half of the proceeds are in those two countries only. And, of course, in the U.S., it's been a big hit as well.
Yeah, so there's an interesting relationship between Britishers and India. And they relate to the story of India and the context of India and the people of India in a different way than most other European folks do, and even Americans, because there's such a deep intertwined history together between the British and the Indians.
Yeah, and that was one of the subtexts of the movie. One of the characters, I think it was the actress Maggie Smith, actually. Is a bit of a, I think she was a wheelchair-bound character who was actually there on medical tourism, not to retire outright, but to get some work done that was too expensive back in the UK. And she, I guess you would say, would typify the ugly side of that British South Asian dynamic. A bit of a racist, you know, not very open to other societies, very much attached to a Britain that is largely fundamentally changed, and she didn't like the new one. But, of course, as the movie progresses, some wonderful things happen. I think she probably is the most transformed by the, I think they all were, but the most transformed by the endeavor. So, Yusuf, from that perspective, the British India or British Pakistan history. What did you see? What did you pick up on theme-wise?
I saw so many. So it was, it's the backdrop of the financial crisis in Europe, where even, you know, there's a parallel in the United States where people who are older are concerned about how they're going to get old, what the economics of being old is going to be like. Globalization, obviously, you know, with the what do they call it? The medical hospitality, or what's a term, Bill?
It's medical tourism.
Yes, so medical tourism, and all, so there's an economic backdrop there. There's also just aging in general, where people who are aging and are mature ages, they have more options available to them than they ever did, and the thought of just retiring wherever you grew up and wherever you worked and wherever your family is, people are thinking past that. I know in the United States there's a trend of, there's a small group of people who retire in places like Costa Rica and South America, and just a cost of, because of cost of living, and enjoy that kind of lifestyle. But, you know, this is becoming more and more of a reality. I thought of my own retirement, and you know, I'm at this point, I'd be open to retiring someplace other than the United States. And so that was another theme, the aging and the options. And along with that, with those options, are also the stories of couples, where, you know, on the surface, it was a foregone conclusion that, you know, people who stayed together for a long time and past, let's say, the age of 70 or so, they're just going to stay together forever. And, you know, and in this movie that explores that theme as well of, well, not really. They have marital issues just like other couples, and sometimes they choose not to stay together at a later age and make that decision. So many themes, Bill, and with the whole backdrop of India, the sheer magnetism, aura, the diversity, the color of India. So there's so much for me in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. The you know, I'm not British and I'm not old yet. I don't know, maybe I'd qualify as well into middle age, but not feeling the affinity with that phase of life as part of the story. First of all, I found it very engaging to try and put my head around how people around me, and the audience in Charlotte here was a good bit more aged than most movie audiences I've been in recently. So to look at it through their eyes, I think it really resonated. But despite those differences, as a Westerner who had lived in India, my wife and I just really, really loved it. It was a lot of fun to see things we could relate to. You know, I think the actor's name is Bill Nighy, and he was in a pretty unhappy marriage. And as the plot evolved, he and Judy Dench is newly widowed, and they took a liking to each other. And his, you know, his marriage was breaking down, and it was kind of mutual, and it was comfortable, but his wife hated India. She wanted to stay in the confines of the hotel. She had nothing but bad things to say, and we knew people like that, and we did everything we could to stay away from them. Because India gives you plenty of things to have strong opinions about, but if they're all negative, you're really not getting India, and India's never going to get you. So we saw that kind of person and said, yep, we know people like that. But almost every character in the movie ended up being altered by India in a way that we ourselves had been. So for us, it was just a pleasure to feel some of those emotions coming back, and even seeing some characteristics in some of the characters that match some of our fellow expat friends. So very strongly resonated with us. It's just a great movie.
And, you know, you're so right. The people who were open to the experience, so there's so many aspects of the South Asian culture that one has to get used to and accept, and then eventually start to enjoy. For example, the fluidity of time. And, you know, when someone says, hey, we'll do something in the morning, they really do mean any time in the morning leading into early afternoon. They really don't specify a time. And when they're optimistically saying, hey, yeah, we'll get this faucet fixed. Yeah, it'll get fixed. It means it might not get fixed the first time around. It might take a few tries. And so, you know, that part of the culture, I think the film explored very nicely. The other part related to the British and Indian theme is when one of the characters goes in and this particular character is looking to marry a wealthy Indian person and settle in India. So she goes to this club, this exclusive club, and which was actually, I think it was called the Viceroy Club, which by its very name sounds like a very British, conceptually a very British venue, where you would have these elite British people in the government service who'd have access to it, and a lot of times Indians would not have access to it. So now Indians are frequenting this exclusive Viceroy Club set by the British, and she goes in and she asked the manager to join, and the manager says, well, it's going to be 120,000 rupees. And she says, well, she makes a connection to some sort of royalty. And the manager is just unimpressed. And whereas in the past, her being a Britisher, just because of the fact that, you know, she is English, would get her into the club. Now you have an Indian manager who's unimpressed and says, hey, listen, either you pay up or, you know, there'll be other people who'll be willing to join in India.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she referred to herself as a member of the royal family who had been deceased.
Yeah, that's right. And the manager caught on to that.
Exactly. So he was aware of that. And yeah, so that layer of theme, I think, was especially, is something that I think British or Britishers, as referred to in South Asia, would deeply resonate with and probably found many subtle meanings that may have bypassed me as an American, maybe you as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can tell you this, though, just some observations. You give me your thoughts on this. I did see some things where I said, no, that would never have happened in India.
Yeah, for example, tell me.
Well, so the things that are the most shocking almost, because we were with another couple who has never been any farther east than Paris, right? So India is something they know about through us and, of course, media and so forth. So they were saying, you know, are the streets really like that? And, you know, kids at the windows of your car, that was all real. I mean, that felt quite real. What felt a little more contrived was some of the character development with Dev Patel and his girlfriend. As an example, they had a pretty affectionate moment on his motorcycle, kissing and being very close and being very playful in a way that here in the U.S. wouldn't be uncommon for people in their 20s. But that level of public affection, I thought, I don't remember seeing a lot of that, right? It's a little more frowned on. And even back at the hotel itself, when Dev Patel popped in the room and made huge pronouncements and waved his hands, very good, very excellent character, but in the hospitality dynamic, I remember much more reservation, you know, as opposed to popping in and interrupting, you know, the guests at their table. So it almost felt like Maggie Smith got very close to her maid and went to her maid's home and met her extended family, and they were all sitting on the floor in front of her, just kind of staring at her, and it felt awkward but warm all at once. That's real. We've had those experiences.
Yeah.
But it were those characters who had one foot in, one foot out, you know, the Indians who spoke English to each other in a scene of only them, right? So those characters seemed a bit more contrived. But I think one would expect that a little bit in such a script.
Yeah. You know, I have to say I'm really excited for Dev Patel because I thought I read a quote from him somewhere saying that he shies away from, or he's not a big commercial type actor. You know, his counterpart in Slumdog Millionaire, where Dev Patel got famous, it was a young lady whose last name is Pinto. Is it what's her first name, Bill?
Frida Pinto.
Frida Pinto. That's right. So she has made it big across the globe, and very commercially viable as an actress and everything, and very accomplished now, and has lots of offers, et cetera, is in the covers of magazines. So Dev wasn't that commercially his orientation was not commercial. And for him to come up with such an awesome movie and for it to do well, I'm really excited for him. Now, in terms of his character, this wide-eyed, ambitious, entrepreneurial, passionate person who doesn't want to be an accountant or a lawyer, engineer, or software engineer, he wants to run this hotel. And he has big dreams. And I think that's part of it might not be an overwhelming majority of people who are like this, but it's part of the new India, the new generation in India, where they are not the typical, even in movies, not depicted as, you know, either a software engineer or, you know, accountant or someone just well-educated who's doing the tried and tested. This is really, to me, represents and is symbolic of India in general, being ambitious, being emotional about their careers, and expecting big things. And I thought that was refreshing. In terms of the relationship with the young lady, it also showed me, although I thought that it was a little contrived, maybe I'm not in touch as much with perceptions on sexuality and relationships in today's India and in South Asia, but it seemed implausible with them being so open about their sexuality and actually being okay with letting his mother know that, you know, they're physically intimate and all of those things. But it does show an independent woman, an independent working, career-oriented Indian woman in the Dev Patil's character's girlfriend, and the confidence that she exuded. I think that's also symbolic of the new confidence in the Indian woman.
No, I think that's an excellent observation. I totally agree with that. And it's interesting. So her brother and mother were standing in the way of that new independence, right, of that woman of the 21st century India, young, attractive, multilingual, professional. What I thought was very well done, and it might be a spoiler moment for anyone listening, but it created a linkage that there was, I don't know if it was caste as much as, you know, economic status and community that the mother objected to this girl being part of, or certainly that he had taken a step without her permission. But then the, I think we probably would have used the word manservant when I was over there, so I'll just say it now.
Yeah.
The manservant in the scene evoked that she, as a younger woman, had gone through a similar thing, and that
That's
the passage
right.
of years had dulled that. So the old and the new were also linked through love, and that's a very Indian movie theme.
It is. And the turnaround shift in mindset in the course of a scene. You know, I think how that was portrayed is really interesting. It is a departure. Once again, I think that's symbolic of India as well as a whole, where people are making those kinds of realizations. Well, you know, I had these taboos, these constraints before as a woman in my generation. I fought against them and I won, but I should not create those constraints and taboos for the next generation. This is, I think, Lilette Dubé, her name is, who plays the role of Dev Patil's mom, and I think she portrayed that. And she's also, by the way, I believe she was in, if I'm getting the name right, she was in Monsoon Wedding as well as a character, as a strong female character. And I really enjoyed her performance as well as Dev Patil's mother in the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, across the board, this is a good movie. For anyone who has curiosity about India, it will show you India through a lens of Western eyes and leads to a lot of comedic events. For a South Asian, it'll give you insight maybe into how Westerners in that setting may speak about India in the absence of Indians, candidly. Some of the comments that came out I thought were pretty frank. And for anyone that's lived in both worlds, any middler, anyone who's felt both worlds in tension, I mean, this is your movie. This is highly recommended from my side.
Absolutely. And we would be, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the role of Tom Wilkinson in the movie. He plays, in terms of the different ways people play out their lives, he plays a gay person in the movie who is looking for his gay partner. He had a relationship with that person way back in the day, who happens to be Indian and now married. So that theme, the way that relationship was portrayed, and the way that taboos were dealt with, and the cross-cultural depiction of being gay and the challenges in both societies associated with that, they were dealt with pretty well. And so it's one of the major themes in the movie, and that's another reason it's worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. That was hardly a forgettable aspect of the movie, so I appreciate you bringing it up. Definitely a good movie.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this has our endorsement, right?
Absolutely. It was really enjoyable for me. I'm thinking of watching it again when it comes out on DVD.
Absolutely. Same here. All right. Well, very good. Thanks for another good episode, Yusuf. We'll talk later.
Thanks, Bill. Talk soon.